Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. We begin on the front page with Voters Reach Day to Decide. U.S. Senate Race Top, but Not Only Ballot Issue by Kelsey Watznauer. Election Day, featuring primaries for top offices and some referendums, has arrived in central Illinois. Those who skipped early voting this year can head to the polls between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Any person who is in line at 7 p.m. will be allowed to vote, so election officials advise voters to stay in line to ensure they can cast their ballot. To register to vote on Election Day, bring two forms of identification to your polling place or to your county's vote center. In McLean County, those are the Government Center at 115 East Washington Street in Bloomington and the Founders Suite inside the Bone Student Center at Illinois State University in Normal. Illinois has several notable races to watch, including the GOP and Democratic primaries, to fill retiring U.S. Senator Dick Durbin's open seat and the Republican primary for governor. But locally, referendums and precinct committee representatives make up most of the contested races. Randolph Township residents are being asked whether to allow the Fire Protection District to issue $4 million in bonds to build a new fire station to accommodate the district's modern fire trucks. This referendum would affect residents in Hayworth and rural areas south of Bloomington Normal. Frank Friend, who serves as the district's trustee president and as captain for the Bloomington Fire Department, said the Randolph Fire Protection District is asking the public to consider this ballot question so it could modernize emergency services for the community. The current facility was built for older equipment and cannot continue to accommodate the district's modern fire trucks, he noted. The district has already secured a donated 2.5-acre parcel of land on State Route 136 for a combined station, and design services are underway with EA Architectural and Design. Stifel Public Finance has been managing project financing. Friend said the proposed $4 million bond would function like a mortgage and would be paid through property taxes over 19 years. For a home valued at $200,000, the estimated annual impact on property taxes would be an increase of $192 per year for those 19 years. Genoa residents have the opportunity to decide the structure of their city government. The city currently operates under the commission form of government, in which the four elected commissioners each oversee a city department. A referendum on the ballot asks whether residents want to switch to what's known as a strong mayor form of government. The strong mayor form is more common in Illinois, and for Chenoa, it would consist of a mayor who serves as chief administrative officer and six at-large city council members. Mayor David Shane said the council members could focus on legislation, policy, and project proposals rather than administration. Livingston County voters are being asked to allow school districts to expand what they use certain tax revenue to fund. As was approved in McLean County last year, school districts living in Livingston County benefit from a 1% county facilities sales tax. But unlike McLean County, the districts have a more limited scope for spending that revenue. Safety and security improvements, new school facilities, additions and renovations, land acquisition, energy efficiency projects, architectural planning and engineering, and durable equipment. This referendum asks residents to allow school districts to broaden their use of this revenue to pay for school resource officers, guidance counselors, social workers, and behavioral health specialists. Four Republicans are facing off for the chance to take on Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. Ted Dabrowski, James Mindrick, Darren Bailey, and Rick Heidner. Durbin's seat is also up for grabs for the first time in decades, and both parties have contenders in the running. On the Republican side, Casey Schlaubeck, Don Tracy, R. Carrie Caparelli, Pamela Long, Jimmy Tillman, and Jenny Evans are on the ballot. And for the Democrats, Kevin Ryan, Robin Kelly, Juliana Stratton, Raja Krishnamoorthy, Steve Botsford Jr., Brian Maxwell, Jonathan Dean, Sean Brown, Awisi A. Bustos, and Christopher Swan are in the running. Comptroller Susana Mendoza is also stepping down, leaving four Democrats competing to succeed her: Karina Villa, Stephanie A. Kifowit, Holly Kim, and Margaret Croak. Republican Brian Drew is running unopposed in the primary for comptroller. Two Republican candidates are running for Secretary of State: Walter Adamczyk and Diane M. Harris. The winner will face Democratic incumbent Alexei Giniolos in November. And in the 17th Congressional District of Illinois, two Republicans are vying to take on Democratic incumbent Eric Sorensen, Dylan Vansel and Julie Bickelhaupt. McLean County has several uncontested primary races and several that will remain uncontested in the general election in November. U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, the incumbent Republican who represents the 16th Congressional District of Illinois, does not have a party challenger, but he will go head-to-head with newcomer Paul Nolley, a Democrat from Loves Park near Rockford. The State House has several familiar faces returning after unopposed elections, including State Representative Sharon Chung, 91st House District, State Senator Sally Turner, with the 44th Senate District, and State Representative Reagan Deering with the 88th House District. Seven of the McLean County Board's 10 districts will have contested elections for four-year seats this fall, but none of the primaries is contested. Two incumbents for McLean County offices are unopposed in both the primary and general: Clerk Kathy Michael and Treasurer Rebecca McNeil. But after Tuesday, McLean County can safely say Lieutenant John Albee will be named the next sheriff, succeeding Sheriff Matt Lane, who has held the office since his election in 2022 and plans to retire after 28 years in the sheriff's office. Next, we have Winter Returns with Crashes and Promise of More Snow by Caitlin Klepek. The Twin Cities saw more than 30 crashes in the wintry conditions that arrived Sunday night and caused trouble into Monday, and meteorologists anticipate more snow to come. The National Weather Service in Lincoln reports Bloomington Normal remains under a winter weather advisory, with snowy conditions likely to continue through the week. The Twin Cities may see another inch of snow hit the area Tuesday evening, with an 80% chance of precipitation, meteorologist Rebecca Koppel said. The high temperature for Monday was only in the mid-20s and the low around 10 degrees. Wind chill factors make it feel like 10 degrees below zero. Beyond Tuesday evening, the forecast is anticipated to be dry and to warm back up to the near 70s by the end of the week. When it's cold, bundle up, said Koppel. Wear multiple layers, and if traveling, give yourself plenty of time. Bryce Jansen, Public Information Officer for the Bloomington Department, said his department responded to 25 crashes just between 6:55 a.m. and 8:40 a.m. on Monday, and a few more after that, including a semi-trailer truck crash reported at 9:54 a.m. on Monday that tied up traffic in the area of Veterans Parkway and Bunn Street. Over in Normal, Public Information Officer Brad Park said police have responded to five crashes between 6:05 a.m. and 9:01 a.m. No serious injuries have been reported as a result of any of the crashes. Several semi-trailer trucks and cars also ended up in ditches along interstates and state and county roads in the area. While Bloomington Police lifted their collision alert at 10:30 a.m., the McLean County Sheriff's Office alert remains in effect. Collision alerts also free police from having to respond to relatively minor collisions and concentrate their resources on other areas when the weather is bad. Motorists involved in a crash in which no one has been injured and the vehicles remain drivable are asked to exchange names, addresses, phone numbers, and insurance information, and then to report the crash to the departments in person together within 48 hours in lieu of the police responding to the scene. And for St. Patrick's Day, we have Eat, Drink, and Celebrate Big. Local bars and restaurants ready to keep holiday tradition alive by Olivia Jacobs. While many Bloomington Normal bars and restaurants already celebrated over the weekend, many will still be offering specials Tuesday in honor of St. Patrick's Day. We'll have green beer, obviously lots of Guinness. We're offering our famous corned beef and cabbage plates. We'll have Reuben sandwiches, said Sarah Morgan, owner of the Pass Pub and Grill. We've got the bagpipers coming in to play at 7 p.m., and that's always great vibes here. I mean, we're a tiny little place, but it's really cool. They all line up behind the bar, and it's loud and it's fun. We love it. The Pass, located at 2303 East Washington Street in Bloomington, will be open from 10 a.m. Tuesday morning until 1 a.m. Friday to mark the holiday. Bartenders will also be serving specialty cocktails, including peach tea made with Red Bull Peach Edition and Irish whiskey in partnership with Red Bull. Get Lucky, made with rum, lime juice, blue curacao, and pineapple juice. Pot of Gold, made with Smirnoff green apple vodka, melon liqueur, pineapple juice, and lemon juice. And the Shamrockerita, made with Don Julio tequila, melon liqueur, agave, and orange juice. Morgan said she believes corned beef and cabbage has become such a staple for the holiday because it's not something people often see in restaurants throughout the year, so in March it's always in demand, popular, and it tastes good. Her favorite St. Patrick's Day drink is the Irish Car Bomb, and she said this has always been her favorite week of the year since she worked for the former C2 East in downtown Bloomington for many years. I just love the vibe. It's a fun time, so I've always celebrated big, Morgan said. So when I opened this place, it's like we got to carry on that tradition. A lot of my regulars are back from C2 come, and we just keep the celebration, keep the tradition alive for my favorite little Irish bar. Well, Bloomington Normal college students coming and going this week between spring breaks, Morgan said she isn't sure what the turnout will be like on Tuesday, but she is hoping for a good showing. Of course, the weather always makes a difference, but she said she thinks the diehard St. Patrick's Day fans will come out no matter what, for a fun time with great food and friends. I love the bagpipers. I always cry when they do Amazing Grace, she said. But all in all, it's just a really fun, fun day. Chef Pedro Gomez Espinosa at Fiala Brothers Brewery and Beer Hall in Uptown Normal said Shamrock Pretty Pretzel Bites will be the kitchen special on Tuesday, topped with bacon, chopped parsley, and a special dipping sauce made with Fiala's Pompos Love Child beer and cheddar cheese sauce. Bob Crawford, owner of Crawford's Corner Pub, throws a big party every year to celebrate St. Patrick's Day and his Irish heritage. This year, the pub hosted its 8th annual St. Patrick's Day party on Saturday, March 14th, which is said to be the largest of its kind in McLean County, seeing thousands of attendees. Weather ended up cooperating, and it was an amazing turnout, Crawford told the Pantograph about the Saturday celebration. To celebrate on St. Patrick's Day proper, Crawford's will offer a corned beef and cabbage meal Tuesday, as well as fish and chips, homemade shepherd's pie, green beer Guinness, and specials and drink specials throughout the day. The band Exorna will also be playing live music from 2 to 5 p.m. It should be a great day, he said, adding that he is hoping for another good turnout, but bad weather may present an issue. The Western Tap at 1301 Northwestern Avenue in Bloomington will offer complimentary corned beef and cabbage starting at 11 a.m. Tuesday, while supplies last. The meal is for dine-in only. The tap will also have $5 Irish Car Bombs, $4 Guinness, and $4.50 green tea shots, and 16-ounce Bud Light aluminum bottles, and $3 for Shamrock Shots. The Deep End Tap at 1801 Eastland Drive in Bloomington will have corned beef sandwiches available through Tuesday. Run and Errands at 1107 West Locust in Bloomington is serving up Reuben egg rolls and Reuben sandwiches served with chips. The Neighborhood Bar will also have $5 Guinness, $3.50 green tea shots, $3 Jameson Black Barrel, and $6.50 Dirty Leprechaun drinks. Schooner's at 810 East Grove Street in Bloomington will be serving corned beef and cabbage with buttered potatoes and Irish soda bread for $12.95, corned beef sandwiches and chips for $9.95, and Irish potato soup. They will also have Guinness, green beer, and other drink specials throughout the day. D.R. McKay's Bar and Grill at 909 North Hershey Road in Bloomington will offer a corned beef and cabbage plate for $12, Reuben's with chips for $9.25, as well as $1 wings all day, $10 E.H. Taylor's, and $4.50 Tito's Handmade Vodka. Smash House Tavern at 503 North Prospect Road in Bloomington has several St. Patrick's Day drink specials, including $3 green tea shots made with Patty Irish Whiskey, $7 Guinness, $3 green beer made with Bud Light or Michelob Ultra, and a Shamrock Shake Teeny made with Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake, Smirnoff Vanilla Vodka, Cream de Coco, and Cream. Rosie's Pub at 106 East Front Street in downtown Bloomington will offer Reuben egg rolls, shepherd's pie, corned beef and cabbage, and a shredded corned beef Reuben. Kilnarney's Irish Pub at 523 North Main Street in downtown Bloomington will open at noon, offering drink specials and green beer all day. Celtic Cross Pipes and Drums will perform at 9 p.m. McGuire's Bar and Grill at 220 North Center Street in downtown Bloomington will have corned beef and cabbage meals, green beer, Guinness, Irish whips, and bagpipes every hour at 5 p.m. Elroy's will have Green Bud Light Drafts, $3 Tullamore DEW, and $13 Irish Nachos, made with waffle fries, fresh corned beef brisket, sauerkraut, tomato green pepper, nacho cheese shredded with Thousand Island, and shredded cheddar. Fort Jesse Cafe at 1531 Fort Jesse Road in Normal is offering its annual corned beef and cabbage skillet, which is available for the entire month. The skillet is stacked with corned beef, beer, braised cabbage, and caraway seeds, beer, mustard, red onions, white cheddar cheese, and two eggs, topped with fresh parsley. And Maggie Miley's Irish Pub at 126th East Beaufort Street in Uptown Normal will have Irish food and drink specials, too. Jerry Vogler, superintendent of the McLean County Veterans Assistant Commission, writes for Veterans Corner today, "All Veterans Affairs facilities have implemented new technology to help the department speed up the scheduling of community care appointments. The Eternal Provider Scheduling System, or EPS, gives VA employees instant access to the scheduling systems of all community care providers who participate in this program. Using that provider information, the VA can immediately book appointments for veterans that fit their schedules. The days when VA employees had to make multiple calls to multiple community care providers and relay that information back to veterans before a single appointment could be booked should be over, or at least greatly reduced. Today, 27,000 community care providers are participating in the EPS program, covering 78 medical specialties. It costs nothing for the providers to participate in EPS. The major stumbling block to implementing the new system was providers' concerns over the cybersecurity of their scheduling system and their information technology system as a whole. Browse VA External Provider Scheduling System for more information. According to the annual 2025 National Report, veteran suicides declined in 2023, but totaled 6,398, which was 45 fewer than reported in 2022. According to the report, the 2023 total was lower than 14 of the previous 15 years. Hopefully, this is a positive trend, at least partially based on the extra focus on suicide prevention fostered by the VA. VA and other organizations report findings included that 61% of veterans who died by suicide in 2023 were not receiving VA health care in the last year of their life. The suicide rate per 100,000 veterans rose for both male and female veterans in 2023. Suicides are elevated for veterans aged 18 to 34 and those with certain risk characteristics, including homelessness, health problems, and pain. VA is determined to reduce the veteran suicide rate through outreach, counseling, and other efforts. But the key component for reducing veteran suicide rates appears to be the use of VA health care and the specialty care for veterans that may help them deal with the hardships they are having. Only slightly more than one-third of all eligible veterans are utilizing VA health care. Browse VA National Annual Suicide Report for more details, information on the VA plans to battle the suicide crisis. Each year, the U.S. Department of Labor recognizes employers who hire veterans of military service through the Hire Vets Medallion Award. This program is the only federal-level Veterans Employment Award that recognizes a company or organization's commitment to veteran hiring, retention, and professional development. The U.S. Department of Labor is accepting employers' applications for the 2026 Hire Vets Medallion Award through April 30th as part of its annual program to recognize employers for excellence in the recruiting, hiring, and retention of America's military veterans. If you are an employer who has hired a veteran during 2025, or if you are employed by or know of an employer who hired a veteran during 2025, make them aware of the Hire Vets Medallion Award program. A record 888 employers earned the award and were recognized in 2025. Browse Hire Vets Medallion Award program for more information on how to apply. And the quote of the day, the primary elections began about 1 month ago and will culminate in the official election day on March 17th. Current reports are that voter turnout is again light. The right to vote for our leaders is not just a right granted by our Constitution, but a responsibility and obligation to have an impact on our future and our children's future by voting. Simply not voting is a strong indication of laziness or, quote, I don't like any of the candidates' attitude, or a mixture of the two. To thumb our noses and not vote is a grave disservice to all those who came before us and those serving our country now and in the future. Veterans especially must lead the way in voting and continue our tradition of serving. The following quote by James A. Garfield says it all. Quote, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. And from Farm Week's Rhiannon Branch and Tammy Sloop, we have War Sparks Fuel and Fertilizer Fears. Military action in Iran continues to affect fuel and fertilizer markets, prompting a nationwide groundswell of concern from farmers as planting season nears. History teaches us that energy market shocks quickly reach the farm gate and countries in and around the Persian Gulf account for a large share of fertilizer supplies our farmers rely on. So it's a serious issue, said American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval. Illinois Farm Bureau President Philip Nelson met with lawmakers on Capitol Hill last week to stress the need for stable fuel and fertilizer prices. Illinois farmers, he said, are feeling the pinch. We had a very good conversation with the Deputy AG Secretary, Steve Vaden, in regard to looking to make sure that we've got competition in all areas for inputs, and that includes fertilizers, chemicals, and seed, Nelson said. One of IFB's national legislative priorities is exploring transparency and competitiveness in agricultural input markets to support cost-effective solutions for producers. The U.S. Justice Department recently launched an antitrust investigation into whether leading commercial fertilizer producers colluded to raise prices, Bloomington News reported. The companies under scrutiny include phosphate and potash suppliers Nutrien Limited and Mosaic Company, as well as CF Industries Holdings, Inc., Koch, Inc., and Norway's Yara International ASA, which collectively control most nitrogen-based fertilizers sold in the U.S. and dominate potash and phosphate markets. The scrutiny comes after the U.S. fertilizer industry underwent dramatic consolidations over four decades. The number of nitrogen fertilizer producers declined from 46 to 13 between 1984 and 2008, a reduction of 72% according to USDA data. Today, four firms control 75% of the nitrogen fertilizer market domestically, while two control nearly 100% of the U.S. potash market, according to University of Waterloo research. Grain market analysts are also watching the conflict to see what geopolitical impacts it could have on corn and soybeans in the U.S. A lot of us are waiting to see if some of the effects on energy prices and other things could change supply and demand dynamics in global corn and soybean markets, Joe Jansen, assistant professor of ag economics at the University of Illinois, told Farm Week at the all-day Ag Outlook hosted by WILL and the U of I FarmDoc team. At the event, two panels of market analysts discussed the state of corn and soybean markets. The Iran conflict was mentioned as a new uncertainty. Everyone knows how much oil moves through that region, but a third of the nitrogen also does, said Chip Nellinger, founder and partner of Blue Reef Agri Marketing. Urea prices are up 20% at the Gulf this week, March 3rd. Ellen Dearden, an analyst with Ag Review, added, I do believe that with the price of fertilizers and the availability given the Middle East situation, that we may end up seeing a few more beans being planted than what the USDA report out of the Ag Outlook Forum suggested. But even before the conflict began, volatility was a concern in the markets. I think this year we have a lot more unknowns than what I would ever remember in a long time. More unknowns mean more price volatility, said Greg Johnson with Total Grain Marketing. The war going on now just underlies how important crude oil prices are to soybean oil prices, which impacts soybean prices. Johnson outlined four major unknowns in the soybean market: domestic biofuels policy, energy prices, Chinese purchases, and President Donald Trump's trade strategy. I think we'll have a wider range of bean prices given the volatility this year, he said. Normally, we have a $1.80 swing from high to low, and I could see it being $2 or more. I think we could be anywhere from $10.50 to $12.50. During meetings in Washington, D.C., Nelson also pushed for passage of the year-round nationwide E15. His visit on March 3rd through 5th included meetings with multiple representatives, Senator Tammy Duckworth, and he met with the USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden at the White House Public Liaison's office. The Illinois Farm Bureau has been working with both sides of the aisle to pass year-round nationwide E15 fuel sales. We're looking at it from a domestic demand standpoint. Right now, we're struggling with commodity prices, and anything we can do to bolster demand should help at the farm gate level, Nelson said. We've got to get it over the finish line, and we haven't forgotten about sustainable aviation fuel, which could really be a boon for the bean and soybean industry. Going forward, that's another issue that we should start tackling strategically and long-term that can bolster a domestic demand for our products in both corn and beans. So we're going to put that on the table as well. And with that, we conclude reading part one of the Pantograph for Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with part two.